Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you? It's fine. Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. I'm fine. I'm fantastic. We're recording on a Wednesday because happy 4th of July to everyone. I hope you all had a great 4th, a great Independence Day. You celebrated with some fireworks, wave that, you know, July American towel, terrible towel, American flag, terrible towel. Those were weird combinations of words. I stayed at home with my dog because she hates fireworks. So you can't baby dogs through that, but I stayed at home with her and was just making sure that she knew I was here. So, yep. James, how are you? How are you?
Good, man. I stayed at home for it too. My neighborhood did not sound like a war zone this year. I'm very grateful for that. A couple years ago, it was a completely different story, but just mild ones in the neighborhood this year. So that was a lot better. Only a couple of the dogs were scared instead of all of them.
Fair enough.
So we'll take that. That was a big win.
Oh, absolutely. All right. We're going to jump right into it now. Before we get to Steelers news, again, real quick, the rundown. We're going to go over the monthly recap last week for top downloaded states and countries to give you guys shout outs. And then we're also going to go over Steelers news, a little bit of big NFL news that just broke today. And then we're going over the positional breakdown for the defensive linemen. So defensive, the whole defensive front, not including outside linebackers. You're going to be looking at the D-line from exterior to interior. Actually, we might start interior. We'll see. But first,
the big nasties, the big uglies.
Yeah, exactly. June numbers. We're going to go over June numbers real quick. James, you want to do this?
How about you do countries, I'll do states.
I like it. So top countries, we're going to go over the top, technically five. USA, number one, no surprise there. Mexico, number two, we'll take that. Gracias.
That's a new one.
Yeah, we like it. Spain, number three. Spain, number three. And then in tied place for fourth, Canada and Germany. So thank you to Canada and Germany. We appreciate you guys. I don't know why I did this. I'm just
being Germany like back in the top five, man. They were number one for a long time.
They were, number one.
Our buddy Timo, man.
He wasn't
downloading like crazy.
They were the number two consistently for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Behind the U.S.
All right, states.
States, number one, right where it's supposed to be, Pennsylvania at the top downloaded state. Number two, Illinois, which I don't think they're all the way up there too often.
No.
Number three, not. New Jersey. Also a little bit of a surprise. Number four, Ohio. Usually they're a little bit higher than
Ohio.
That. And then number five, the corn state, right? I think corn is the vegetable of the state over there in Iowa.
Corn.
Iowa. That's it. So big shout out to our friends Kale and Klepp on Tabletop Sports. Really appreciate you guys with all the retweets, all the likes and shares on social media. That means a lot. We appreciate that
very much. Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you guys. And we enjoy your guys' podcast as well. I listen to that every now and then when I'm in my work truck. It's a good time. It's a good time for sure. With that being said, we're going to go right into... Let's do NFL news before we do Steelers news. So NFL news.
Let's do it, man.
NFL news. The big breaking news today. Baker Mayfield reportedly traded to the Panthers for a conditional fifth round pick. With that being said, I'm sure he has to pass a physical, all this other stuff. Yes. The trade could potentially be voided. I don't see that happening. Let's be clear. I think Baker will be able to pass a physical unless he, you know, got into the ho-hos or something. I don't know what to tell you.
As long as he's fully recovered from that shoulder injury, right? Because he would have had that repaired right after the season was over.
Yeah, that's fair. So Baker Mayfield traded to the Carolina Panthers for a fifth-round pick. So he more than likely hops into that number one overall in the depth chart there right in front of Sam Darnold, depending on how they do that. Some information deep dive real quick into the deal of the trade. Baker Mayfield did have a current contract that ran through this year, the 2022 season. It was worth a total of $18.8 million. Of that total, the Browns have agreed to pay $10.5 million, with the Panthers only footing about $5 million of that. And then with agreement with Baker, Baker decided to trim off the extra $3.5 million. However, he can earn that $3.5 million back through incentives. James is, and I'm guessing, you know, number of games played, maybe snap percentage, yards, touchdowns, completion percentage, all those kinds of things that were thrown in there that he can earn that $3.5 million back. So, big news.
Yeah, great news for Baker, let's be honest. He's the best quarterback the Browns have had since Bernie Kosar. And we'll see whether or not Deshaun Watson gets on the field this year. But you got to feel that this has some sort of significance to the ruling that we're expecting to hear any day. There's a possibility that the Browns were about to lose all leverage in attempting to move him at all, being that Baker's made it pretty clear that he didn't want to play there. So they could have been in a situation where they were pretty desperate to get rid of him. And now the deal's done. They didn't get much back, just a fifth. But it is a conditional fifth, so that could move up or down depending on his playing time and performance. But I'm with Cody. I do believe that Baker's going to win that starting job pretty easily. I don't think Sam Darnold's shown enough to have anyone put him above Baker, other than knowing the offense, being comfortable with the system, whatever all. He might have to earn it through the preseason, but I think pretty quickly Baker will be able to outshine him. So that's a big move, big change in the Cleveland Browns offense will be completely different because their quarterbacks are all gone now.
Yep. So we're going to see how this nice. This plays out. They got, who knows, maybe Josh Dobbs will get the start week one.
You never know, bro.
You know what? You want to know what's really funny?
Huh.
Week one, Panthers play the Browns.
That just got more fun. Talk about a revenge game, man. If Baker gets a start, you know he's going off that game.
He's gonna be running for touchdowns, I'll tell you that much right now. Yeah,
take the over for yards thrown, take the over for points scored, all of it. Baker's gonna put up 50 on those boys.
It'll be fun to watch for sure. Now moving on to Steelers news. PFF, our friends over at PFF, sometimes we hate them, sometimes we love them. Chukwuemeka Okorafor, ranked 10th best by Pro Football Focus in lowest quarterback pressure rate allowed in last year's season. Top 10. Excuse me.
That's your top 64 tackles, because you're talking starting left and right. It might have even been more than 64 guys that they ranked. You never know.
Sometimes it could have been.
That have like
injuries, you know, and everything. Starts else.
For two different guys and whatever also. That's really good, honestly, to rank that high. And it kind of, you know, we have our disagreements with Pro Football Focus. Cody pointed this out from time to time on some of their rankings. And it seems like a lot of times they're not in favor of the Steelers. But this does match up with the tape.
It's not even that they're not in favor of the Steelers. It's that they're blind to what's happening. Like when TJ Watt is ranked behind three or four other players and he was voted defensive MVP.
Yeah. And by a landslide.
Speaks for itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. It's more of their rankings sometimes don't really hold up to reality.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, Okorafor is really honestly, as far as a pass blocker, he's pretty dang good. That's his specialty. He's best at pass blocking. He's not the people mover. He's not an amazing run blocker, but you would assume at 24 years old, he's getting a little bit bigger, a little stronger every year. And maybe he'll develop as a run blocker. If not, at least their ratings kind of back up what the tape shows when you watch the games. And that's that he's a good pass blocker and he's not letting people through to crush the quarterback.
So, yeah. Yeah.
At least, you know, the right side is pretty secure in those passing situations. And you can trust Okorafor to do a good job holding up on his end.
Yeah, and you guys might have been like, well, you guys complained about Okorafor last year. Yeah, during the run plays where people were just bullying him. Because he can't run block. I will complain about him all day in that aspect.
Yeah, and again, this is now a 24-year-old young man. A lot of rookies come into the league at 24 years old. So he came into the league at 20. You're just not fully developed as far as your physical strength. Even at 24, you probably still have a long ways to go on what you can really become strength-wise.
I hope at 29 you have a long way to go.
You do.
Stop.
You do, buddy. Trust me.
Again, if you guys haven't subscribed on YouTube, you need to, because it's fun to watch us mess with each other on video. Not going to lie. And you just get to see James's nice setup, my nice bedroom with my Steelers gear set up. You got the James Conner jersey, the TJ Watt jersey, the Steelers helmet right there. Every now and then you get to see some of the dogs on James's side or the dog and cat on my side. Again, subscribe on YouTube. It's free. Just do it. So with that being said, little detour, now we're detouring to the D-line. Let's talk about it real quick. The big nasties, as you call them, James, we're going to go over the nose tackle position, basically, is what I'd say. And we're going to go in order of how we feel these guys are probably ranked, I would assume, as far as depth chart, if we were to make a depth chart right now. So right off the get-go, 35-year-old Tyson Alualu. He's going to be the guy we talk about first in the nose tackle position. Coming off of an injury year, Tyson Alualu, actually the year before that, was one of his best years, if not his best. It might have been his best.
Yeah, he really showed some improvement as far as a pass rusher a couple of years ago, getting that pressure from the interior. But what he really brought to Pittsburgh when he moved to the nose tackle position and playing a lot more D tackle, he played a lot of defensive end with the Jacksonville Jaguars through the first part of his career, which was most of his career. Honestly, he brought that steadying force of somebody that was not easily moved on the inside, which Pittsburgh missed dearly last year. We really never got that defensive tackle or nose tackle position solidified after he left. Due to that injury. I think it was a broken ankle last year. And he just was never able to come back from it in time to help out the defense. And it's going to be really nice having him back because immediately it's a huge upgrade up front, which is going to drastically help those middle linebackers. Those guys had guards and centers on them all year last year. They weren't really getting the opportunity to run to the ball as freely as you would like. And that's going to definitely improve with Tyson Alualu being back. And then the gentleman behind him did show some flashes last year and shows you some promise. Pittsburgh rewarded him with a two-year deal, a little over $2 million a year on the deal. Montrevious Adams. It's his sixth year in the league, so he's got a little bit of experience, but Pittsburgh scooped him off of the Saints practice squad last year, and he showed some nice promise, some good penetration ability on defensive plays. Not as much of the double-team hogging nose tackle, but again, he was the best of the rest, and we traded for him halfway through the year. Not traded, I'm sorry, we stole him off the practice squad of the Saints halfway through the year.
Yeah.
So be welcome to have him back. It's going to be nice to see what kind of improvement he can make with additional playing time.
And again, a six-year pro at only 26 years old, that's fantastic. He's got a lot of experience under his belt while still being a young guy. It's not like he's 6 years in the league and 29 or 30 years old, which does happen sometimes. And so that youth aspect for him might be beneficial. The next guy is an undrafted free agent, Donovan Jeter, 6'3", 325 pounds from Michigan. I don't have a lot of information on him other than the fact that he's clearly large. And so that's a massive benefit to a position where Pittsburgh typically goes with larger guys. You don't sit, you're not going to see Pittsburgh normally roll out with a Haloti Ngata or a freaking Vince Wilfork type guy. But 6'3", 325, if you put him up next to the likes of Cam Hayward and those other guys that are really big, he wouldn't look out of place.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're looking at a defensive line unit, I feel like the defensive end types that the Steelers have, it's a lot deeper of a room as or the nose tackle types is not. And this could be the last year for Tyson Alualu. So the search kind of begins of, is there anyone you can maybe stash on the practice squad and attempt to develop behind Montrevious Adams, or maybe even somebody with more potential? This is a guy that played nose tackle for the University of Michigan. So going up against larger talent, and it's just not a glorious position, right? If you're a nose, you don't get a lot of sacks. You don't get a lot of tackles for loss. It's just kind of your job to soak up a couple blockers, if possible, two at a time to free up those playmakers. So I had him slotted here above the Davis twins, which we're going to go over next, just because we kind of already know what the Davis twins are and what they're not, and they're not really true nose tackles.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Carlos Davis and Khalil Davis both came out in the same draft class. Pittsburgh was eyeing up Khalil, and Khalil wound up getting drafted ahead of Carlos. Pittsburgh wound up getting Carlos Davis. And then whenever the time came, I believe last year we talked about this, Khalil wound up becoming available or on a practice squad. I don't remember exactly how we acquired him, but we acquired him and had both Davis brothers. And obviously we talked about that as well with the draft, because Pittsburgh now has like four sets of brothers on the team, those Davis boys being some of them. So again, Carlos Davis played with Pittsburgh for the longest time so far, been mostly riding the practice squad. And then Khalil Davis as well. I don't remember where he got drafted. Was it the Bears?
I think Buccaneers.
Buccaneers. I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I feel like he was a Buccaneer. And to me, the potential is there with these guys. They showed good athleticism as far as measurables coming out in the combine and whatnot. But at this point, they've both been in the league, I want to say, about 3 years. So you're saying, hey, if you haven't developed anything yet, we really need to see it, or we might move on. I won't be surprised if neither one of these guys makes the team or the practice squad.
Dang. There's the hot take for today. Check it down. You know, July 6th, James says, no Davis brothers on the team.
Both of them gone.
Both down of them to
three
gone.
Brother combos.
Hey, fair enough. Now moving on to the outside side of the D-line. So the defensive ends, you're looking at the two guys I'm going to name first. I'm just going to name them both together, and then we can go into details. Actually, no, I'm going to go one by one again. Cam Hayward, the heart and soul of the defense. No disrespect to TJ right now, but Cam Hayward, I'll tell you what. He's got the heart, he's got the soul, he's got the mouth. He can get loud on that defensive line.
Absolutely.
Again, Cam Hayward, been in the league, I don't even know how long at this point.
I would say 10 or 11 years.
It's pretty close. It's definitely getting there.
Yeah.
Cam Hayward was drafted by Pittsburgh back in 2011. So yeah, this is going on his 11th year total. And Cam Hayward is up there in the all-time sack leaderboard for Pittsburgh with 68 sacks in his career. So keep an eye on him and TJ again, battling it out this year to see who can. TJ's going to win, we know. But Cam Hayward is going to be pushing that for sure.
Yeah, but realistically, if he puts together a 10-sack year, which he's done multiple times before, he could be looking at being number two in Steelers history after the end of the season.
Yeah.
So could be pretty awesome to see two guys pass up all the Steeler greats in the same year on the sack list. So keep an eye open for Cam. He's the verbal leader. He's the leader by example. And the leader with his play on the field as well. Number two, we've got Larry Ogunjobi, the new addition via originally the Cleveland Browns, and then most recently the Cincinnati Bengals. Cody, you've got something to say.
Correct. Real quick, back to Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward's on a five-year stint right now of consecutive Pro Bowls. Just saying.
That's very impressive.
Just saying.
Not just a little.
Not just a little. One of those only came off a four-sack season. He got Pro Bowl off of that, but we'll take it.
Yeah, that was the year that Tuitt put up 11 sacks.
Yep.
Tuitt kept on beating him to the quarterback by a step or two.
That is true. All right, so now on to Larry Ogunjobi. I'm sorry, I had to bring that up.
No, yeah, you're good. So Larry, I think he's going to play a little end and a little D-tackle this year for Pittsburgh, but I feel like he's more likely to start in the old Stephon Tuitt role than Chris Wormley is. Measuring in at 6'3", 305. Doesn't have the longest arms in the world, but he is an excellent penetrator when it comes to playing against the run and against the pass. So could be a real nice upgrade there as far as what we had last year and guys making an impact, getting after the quarterback that were not named TJ Watt, Highsmith, and Cam Hayward. So nice to have another guy that can do this. 7 sacks from Ogunjobi last year. Does that sound familiar? That's why, because Chris Wormley also had 7 sacks last year.
Yep.
Who's the next guy on our list, the prototypical mold of the 6'5", 300-pound defensive end type. Chris showed some promise last year. Didn't really stand up as well against the run as what we would hope to see. So we'll like to see an improvement. Both these guys are 28 years old going into the last year of their deals. Larry, of course, is just the one-year deal. But both these guys could be off the team next year. So them having big seasons is important for themselves going into free agency next year. I don't know whether or not Pittsburgh will look to retain Larry Ogunjobi. I kind of doubt it personally.
Yeah, I doubt it as well.
Due to the investment with the Marvin Leal and Isaiah Loudermilk, our next two guys. So if you want to start off on Leal, Cody?
Yeah, so DeMarvin Leal was our third-round pick this year of the NFL draft. DeMarvin Leal being 6'4", 290 pounds, at least the last time he was talked about. You know, Pro Football Focus has him as 283 pounds, whatever.
They're saying out of camp he's right around 305 now. So
he's putting on weight, whether that be muscle or whatever. He's making himself bigger, which is exactly what I think he needed to do. one way or another at a 6'4 size, you want him to be over 300 pounds. But again, Pittsburgh showed investment here. They invested last year. We'll talk about the guy, Isaiah Loudermilk, next. They invested a fifth rounder last year in a defensive lineman, and this year they went in the third round. So that's showing that, hey, we're not comfortable with what we have on the team right now. We want to add some depth. You think about Cam Hayward wants to play for a long time. We know that. We talked about that before. But the defensive line isn't getting any younger other than DeMarvin Leal and Isaiah Loudermilk at this point. So these guys are the future of the defensive line. These guys have to prove something. And I think DeMarvin Leal is going to come in and push Isaiah Loudermilk to be the best that he can be because, hey, right now, if we're looking at the depth chart, Isaiah Loudermilk's five.
Yeah.
They might not keep five.
Yeah, I don't personally see any way they get rid of Loudermilk.
I agree, but I want that to push him.
I see what you're saying. I think this is, honestly, I think it's going to be awesome because it's going to force the two of these guys to really give their best. What it looks like at quick glance is that the two of them are going to be battling out for who's going to be the starter in the 2023 season.
Yep.
Who's going to start opposite Cam Hayward? Again, this is just me thinking that they probably won't bring back Ogunjobi after the 1 year deal because he's probably going to want $15 million a year or something from somebody else. But who's it going to be? Is it right now? It looks like DeMarvin Leal is the better pass rusher, and it looks like Isaiah Loudermilk's the better against the run. Can Loudermilk develop some pass rush moves to compete? Can Leal muscle up enough to hold up better against the run? We're going to see, and I'm really excited to see these two in the preseason. I really hope we get to see them together. I think that would be awesome to see the two of them at the same time in nickel defenses, pushing the pile in the middle. Let's see what these guys can make happen. I'm really excited for the future and the possibility of these two. I thought Loudermilk played pretty doggone well for a rookie last year, and I expect to see good things out of Leal, especially when he gets to rush the passer.
Yeah, absolutely. The next guy is one of James's favorite gentlemen's, Henry Mondo. Henry Mondo being 6'4", 280 pounds. He was drafted out of Oregon. Correct. 26 years old. He'll probably be 27 by the time the season starts, or shortly after. I believe his birthday is in September. But another guy had two sacks last year. You know, he was a rotational guy. He was a rotational guy. He wasn't starting, but he played in 15 total games, two starts. Technically, two sacks, that we'll take that. And again, we talked about on the last episode with Tommy and Frank, Henry Mondo played fullback as well.
Yeah.
And special teams.
And kick coverage. He was really good on the kick coverage unit. I hate to say it, this is the year that Mondo finally is on the outside looking in. Unless Pittsburgh were to make a trade, I do think there's a chance that Chris Wormley maybe gets moved if he's unhappy with a lesser role. If that were to happen, then Mondo's got a decent shot of making the team again. And you can tell that he muscles up a little bit, gets a little bit bigger every year. He's definitely not the 280 he was when he came into the league.
Oh, no.
But at the same point in time, last year he was forced into the role of playing nose tackle some, and that is a really bad fit for him. He's got like 31-inch long arms. He's really short as far as that. His best is in a pass rushing situation, and he showed some ability there. But again, this is not someone who's going to – it's not like he can keep on putting on more weight and then he's going to magically be better against the run. He's still going to have those deficiencies as far as length no matter what happens for him.
Yep.
So I hope that he can stick on the practice squad. I think the versatility of being able to play special teams helps him there because he's somebody that if you were to call him up, you could play him on kick coverage, and that's a very rare thing for a defensive lineman to be able to do. But that is really the biggest thing sticking out for him, that and his pass rush ability. Last man on the roster at the defensive line position, Daniel Archibong. He did get to see a little bit of playing time last year due to all the injuries on the defensive line, which kind of shows you how bad the injuries got last year. Because we're talking about a good like 14, 15 guys or so here, and he's the last one on the list. And he played yesterday last year because of how many injuries there were. I liked his hustle from what we saw. He's got the right size, 6'6", 307, and what you typically see for a Steelers defensive end in a 3-4 scheme. I don't know that there's going to be much playing time for him. He's going to be a fourth quarter guy this year in the preseason. And we'll see if he makes the practice squad, but I'd be surprised with the talent that there is available on the guys also here. I just don't see room for him.
Yep, I agree with you. I think Daniel Archibong is probably the only player that I would guarantee is not going to make the team out of that list of guys specifically. You obviously talked about the Davis brothers, but...
I mean, I'd say Donovan Jeter doesn't really have any chance of making the team either, but I do think he could
I'm talking the defensive end specifically.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Of that list we just went over, out of those guys, Daniel Archibong is the only one that's... Sorry, but... see you later. So with that being said, that's going to wrap up today's episode. We can't thank you guys enough for listening, liking on Facebook, all those things, giving the 5-star reviews as James flashes the 5 fingers. again, we can't thank you guys enough. Be sure to share the video or the audio, however you hear it, with your friends and family, your other Steelers fans. Let's grow the Steelers by the Lake family. We appreciate you guys so much. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free, gosh darn it. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Deuces, ring the bell.